In six verses this morning. You know, there are two spirits. That's the name of the sermon, two spirits. And you know, when we look at this, you know, when we study out 1 John, it's important that we are reminded every time, every time you read it, should remind yourself of the theme. The theme of 1 John that we've selected, and there are many themes, is from the 5th chapter, the 20th verse. I want to read it to you again, as I have done so nearly every sermon that we have taught now on 1 John, talking about the theme being real life, true life. It says, "And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding that we may know him who is true or real, and that we are in him," praise the Lord, who is true, "in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." As we've studied out this great epistle, loved one, now entering into a brand new chapter, we know that there are only on this planet, on planet Earth, if you believe God's word, and I know you do, there are only two families on planet Earth. Amen? You are either in Adam, and in Adam all die, the old fallen nature, or you're in Christ, and if you're in Christ, all shall live. Amen? So the two families that we've learned from chapter 3, verse 10, I believe it is that we are the children of God, or you belong to the children of the devil. Amen? So those are the two families. So with all that being said, did you know that really every person on this planet right this moment, they are literally traveling through life only on two roads? They are either on the narrow road that leads to life, amen? Or they're on the broad road or the broad way, which leads to destruction, meaning separation from God forever and ever. And that means that the people that are on planet Earth right this moment, there are only two kinds, and they're building their lives only two ways. They're either building their life on the rock, amen? That's Christ Jesus. That's the only foundation a man can build his life upon. Or they're building their life on sand. And they're not going to, and when the storms of life come, it's going to just blow them away. You'll also find, really, there are only two types of wisdom on planet Earth. There's the wisdom of God, and then there's the wisdom of this world, which God calls foolishness. Amen? And there are only two spirits on this planet, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's why John wrote to them in chapter 2, verse 26, when he said this, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you," meaning the false teachers. And we know what they were trying to deceive the readers, the Christians of that generation. They were trying to deceive them about Jesus Christ, amen, and who Jesus really is. Now, so what we do this morning is remember, John is warning the readers. He's warning every generation of Christians. And he's warning them about those that there at that time, they claimed to be Christians. They even identified themselves as believers. They even talk like Christians, walk like Christians, you know, worship like Christians. But the fact is, they were liars. They were wolves in sheep clothing, as Jesus said, and they were the false teachers. Also, the second thing I want you to think about this morning as we enter into our study is, you know, the services for the third generation of believers, and that's who he was writing to, the Apostle John. Remember, he's old now. He's the last living apostle who had been with Jesus in the flesh. And he's writing to these readers, and he's telling them, he's saying unto them, or unto us rather, that, you know, their worship services, their church services were totally different than ours. I mean, you know, ours, we have it ironed out, don't we? Four or five songs, and here comes Bill. I mean, you know, it wasn't like that back then. Amen? So they met in homes. So let's say that somebody came into the city or the little village and so forth, and they said, hey, I'm a believer too. Praise the Lord, but God has called me, and I have a word. And so they would say, come, man, come on in and share whatever God has given to you. The problem was, is that when they did come in and allowed to speak, John is telling them, you got to know, you got to be have discernment, amen? You have to have discernment to know, is it the spirit of truth coming out of their mouth, or is it the spirit of error? Nothing has changed today, amen? Now, I want you to listen to me. We have 163 words. We should be on our knees as we study them. They are so deep and so profound that I'm almost trembling this morning. As I have been under warfare all night long, over just one of the verses, knowing that God wants to speak, but the devil doesn't want us to hear. Are you listening to me? We need you who have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. And the church says, let's look at verse 1. He writes and he says, beloved, what a tender term from the heart of a pastor. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Now, every spirit, that word is pneuma in the Greek. What does he mean, every spirit? He's talking, in this case, it refers to people. It could be pastors, it could be evangelists, it could be prophets, it could be anyone who shares the good news of Jesus Christ or say that they do. So it says, do not believe every person or every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Now, we have two commands in this verse. The first command is do not believe every spirit, but literally in the Greek, in the tense that is used, it would be stop believing every teacher that comes along or every spirit. So that means that they were some of the sheep. They were actually believing what the Gnostics, as we know who the false teachers were, that they were teaching, and they were leading the sheep of God astray. So the second command he gives us in this verse is to test the spirit. Now, this is very important here. This is not, it's when we test people, that when we listen to people, wherever it is, radio, TV, whatnot, Christians, we're not testing the person in order to condemn them. Amen? We don't have a spirit of fault finding. Amen? What we're doing is that we're listening to approve what they're saying, to say amen to what they're saying. Amen? But sometimes what they say is not right. In other words, you know, do not believe every spirit, it says, but test. In other words, which spirit is truly speaking through them to me, to you, to the sheep of God's pasture? Is it truth coming out of their mouth, or is it error? But I want you to show you something now. The word test there is not singular. In other words, it's not pastor, you test. It's plural, meaning every sheep, all sheep, you got to test the word of God. Amen? Which that means something. It means that God's children need to know the Word of God. They need to know doctrine. They need to know what they believe, but they also need to know why they believe it. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, we are to test, as we hear, we are to test what we hear, what's being taught. And we say to ourselves, okay, does that agree with Scripture? Or, wow, that doesn't sound right. Every Christian, no matter if you are 1 month old or 100 years old in the Lord, you should be a Berean. Amen? Let me give you the verse from Acts 17:11. Remember when Paul and Silas, they left, the other city, and they came unto Berea. The Jews chased them out, and they came to Berea. And he says there in Acts 17:11 about the people in Berea, he said, boy, they had the right attitude than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word. The word of God, it says, with all readiness, that means eagerness. They were excited about hearing the God's word, but listen to what they did. And they searched the scriptures daily, say that word, daily, to find out whether these things were so. The next verse says, and many of them believed the word of God. So listen carefully. Here's what they did. Number one, they received the Word, then they researched the Word, and then they finally responded to what was true. Now listen to me. If the church in Berea, the Christians in Berea, if they checked out the greatest apostle that ever lived, don't you think you should check every sermon I teach to? You better. Everything that comes, you need to check. Is Bill staying on course? This is very important. Don't just trust me. Trust God's word for yourself. Amen? Now, with all that being said, the reason why we are to do those things, it's still in verse 1. Look at it. He tells us why we are to test, why we're not to believe every spirit. He says, because how many? Many false prophets, meaning those who claim to speak for God, have gone out into the world, meaning they've gone out and they continue to speak for God. Now, the false prophets, they were once inside the church, and over in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, remember, they went out from us, John says, because they were not for us. They are Satan's liars. They're forerunners of the Antichrist. But the words, they have gone out from us, literally means they departed doctrinally from the position of who Jesus Christ really is. Amen? So that's what this means here. So they're wolves in sheep clothing. That's what Jesus called them in Matthew, what was it, 7:15? What did Paul call them? I don't know, Acts chapter 20, I forget the scripture, 28 or something. He says they are savage wolves. Boy, what a word for a false teacher, savage wolves. Now listen, a false teacher claims, and they might even believe it, but they claim to be a mouthpiece for the Holy Spirit. So the purpose of testing is to prove their origin, what's coming out of their mouth. Is it the spirit of truth or is it spirit of error? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, which is a command, by the way, do not despise prophecies. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. We're not to despise them, but we are to test them. Amen? How about 1 Corinthians 14:1, another command. Pursue love. Man, go after love with all of your heart, the agape of God. And desire, that word means be burning on the inside. Be zealous for spiritual gifts, but especially that ye may prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:3, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So how do you view prophecy? You know, when you hear it in the church or someone gives you a word from God. Well, did you know a lot of people today, they use prophecy as a rebuke. Prophecy is not a rebuke. The Bible just told us what it does, what it's for. Prophecy, it builds up the weak person. Amen? It comforts those and encourages. You know, if you're hurting, it brings comfort. If you're down and out, it brings encouragement. God is the God of all comfort. Amen? So let me ask you a question now. How do we test prophecy? Well, I just read it to you. It builds up, it comforts, and encourages. Amen? If it doesn't, it's not prophecy. Is that what God's word just said? Okay, you ask yourself then, does it agree with the word of God? Don't despise, but test. You know, we have a problem in the 21st century church today in many circles, because of the moving of the Spirit of God. And I love the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen? It always glorifies Jesus. It doesn't glorify man. Now, with all that being said, you don't want to ever, ever confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit show our ministry. The fruit of the Spirit show our maturity. Amen? It's all very important. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, another command. Test, there's that word again, test all things, prove all things, hold fast to what is true or genuine. So listen very carefully. Every Christian, you need to test what you hear, okay? You need to test what you read. You need to test what you're watching on social media. Amen? You need to test those things. In other words, you sift everything that comes through your ear gate with the word of the living God. So verse 1 says, test the spirits, whether they are from God, meaning the spirit, again, verse 6 would be the spirit of truth, spirit of error. Now, what is the purpose of the spirit of error? It literally is to take you off the path. is to take you in a direction away from God's word. Amen? Okay, so that's very, very important. Now listen to me. The spirit of error appears and even feels and sometimes sounds like truth. It's so smooth. Remember when we get from Peter, they lay their lie, they bring in destructive heresies and lay their lie alongside of the truth very, very quietly. You got to be careful with the spirit of error. And you know why? It's powerful. Oh man, it's seductive. It seduces a person by deception to believe in, act on, and trust in what is false, what is a lie. And yet, you know what's incredible? The whole time that individual, maybe an entire denomination, church, they really believe that the error is not error. They believe that it's truth. The source of all error, we know where it comes from. John 8:44 comes from the father of all lies, the devil. Amen? Okay, now, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:1, when Paul is writing and he says, now the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, expressly says in the last times, the last days, the last times, it says, some will depart from the faith. Now, the words depart means some will willingly and deliberately depart from the faith, the essentials of Christian doctrine, okay? They will depart. Now, not only did it happen then, it is happening even today, amen? So throughout until the time of the Lord returns, there's going to be those who depart into error. They're going to leave the truth. Let me read it to you. The Spirit expressly says that some will depart from the faith. And it says, listen to the cause of their departure, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, teaching of demons. Now, you know that demons don't teach. They teach through people. Amen? Okay, false teachers, false prophets. But listen, what are the doctrines and demons and the teaching? What is it? Well, they want to redefine your reality. They don't want you to walk in the true reality of God. They want to conform your thinking to their. They don't want you to be conformed to the Word of God. And not only that, they love to redefine a Christian's identity. Oh, they love that. They want to change who you belong to. Does that make sense? But they work for the devil. They don't work for God. Now, with all that being said, I've lived long enough. And I have taught in so many different churches, denominations. And I love them all. But I'm going to tell you something. There are those today, even then, but today particularly, that many false teachers, loved one, they are so skilled that they can build their entire ministry around just one scripture. Just one scripture. And that teaching can go around the world and make that man a very wealthy man. You know what that scripture is? Mark 11:24. Let me read it to you. Therefore I say to you, this is Jesus, whatever I say to you, whatever things you ask. Everyone say whatever things. Whatever things. Does that cover a lot of territory? Okay. Whatever things you ask when you pray. Lord, that Corvette. Whatever things you ask when you pray. Listen to what Jesus said now. Believe that you receive them. Believe right then, I receive them, and Jesus said, and you will have them. Now, you've heard that. You can have whatever you say. Well, I didn't. I prayed, and I didn't get it. Well, you didn't believe it. Well, no, if you'd believed it, you would have gotten it. Are you calling Jesus a liar? This is Jesus' scripture. Are you following me? You see the deception there. Oh, loved one, listen, a Christian today, we should never be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that blows through our city or that blows around the world. We have to be careful when we hear the word, this is a new teaching, no one has this one, or this is a new revelation. No, loved one, you've got to discern, are they speaking truth, the spirit of truth, or are they speaking by error? Do you know what Jesus told us? He gave us so much information. He said, you know what? Do you know what's going to be the number one formula for false teachers and false prophets, what they do. Let me give you the scripture, what he said. He said in Matthew 24, false Christ, false prophets, well, they're going to rise. They're going to come and go, but they're going to show great signs. You see, they use signs, but he says, to deceive, and if possible, even the elect. What kind of signs are we seeing today? I mean, I've seen them all. I've seen people hit people in the head with a microphone. You know, or throw in their coat. You know what I'm trying to say? Or just, and everybody, you know what I mean. Come on. I hope he had good breath. No, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of that, but I mean, come on. You know, I mean, you have to beware of anyone who values experience, and experiences are wonderful with God. But you have to be careful, beware of those who value experience over the true word of the living God. Amen? Listen to me now. I'm telling you, our experiences that we have, and we do have experiences with God, but our experience do not interpret the word of God for us, do they? No. We interpret our experiences according to the word of God. Let me give you a perfect example. Let's just take the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. They all started speaking in other tongues, and the birth of the church, amen? That was that when that happened. And boy, and they were going, how is it that we hear, all these languages and our own dialect and so forth? And they said, these guys are drunk. That's what's wrong. Everybody's drunk. Well, it's only 9 a.m. in Jerusalem. You can't get drunk at 9 a.m. There's not enough wine in Jerusalem at 9 a.m., amen? If you've been there, you know what I mean. No, I'm joking. Loved one, listen. You know what Peter did? Listen to what Peter said that what was happening about this experience that had never been experienced before. He says this in Acts 2:15. Hey, they're not drunk as you think or as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Here it comes. But this is what? I'm going to tell you what all that you're seeing and hearing there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. He spoke it, Joel chapter 2? He spoke it 800 years before this event occurred. He says, was spoken by the prophet Joel. Here it comes. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So what just happened in the upper room in the book of Acts, did you know it was prophesied it was going to happen? Amen? So what does Peter do? Peter proves what's happening. He tests what's happening. He tests the experience from Scripture. He says, oh no, let me tell you what's going on. Can you believe? I mean, here's Peter the fisherman. Was he trained? No, he still had calluses on his hand. He probably had fish hooks in his pocket. Do you understand? He was a country boy. He wasn't educated. And yet, man, he was full of the Spirit of God, and God was leading him. Amen? And he said, oh, no, this is what was prophesied by Joel, man. Now, listen to me. Talking about experiences, New Testament experiences, casting out demons, speaking in other tongues, and miracles, and baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, I have it in the Bible, they are all valid experience for a New Testament Christian, okay? And not only that, in Acts 2:17, Peter continued, he says, hey, listen, it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That means everybody that means the endowment of power. And your sons, your daughters, they're going to prophesy. Your young men will see visions. That's not from the 60s, okay? He says, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and my maid servants, the slaves at that time, he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Loved one, listen to me. On the day of Pentecost, the day the church was birthed, not only did we enter into the last days, but visions, I just read it, visions, dreams, prophecy, gifts of the Spirit, the endowment of power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, what Jesus told us. He said, listen, these are all God-given valid experiences for the church, and they will continue until the end. Do you understand? Are you all with me? Okay. Now, how do we recognize the spirit of truth from the spirit of error? Look at verse 2. John uses the word, two words, by this 12 times in this short epistle. He says, by this, Christian, you know, literally, you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit, meaning a pastor, teacher, whoever is teaching, every spirit that, what? Confesses. Now, that word is it means to say the same thing as you've heard, but it means a little differently, too. It means here to declare openly to others and to declare boldly. So it says, every spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So how do we recognize the spirit of God, the spirit of error? We do it how? Every true pastor, no matter who they are, what denomination, every true pastor, teacher, Christian, they will boldly and openly confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he has always been. He is the pre-existent Son. Amen? He has always existed. He's always been God. It says he has come. Where did Jesus come from? Heaven. He was sent by God from heaven to earth. He was born of a virgin. Amen? And so he, how did he come? He came when he was born like one of us in the flesh. John 1:14. The word became flesh and tabernacled or dwelled among us, okay? So let me say something here. It's very important. You should do a study on this. I would love to include it in this sermon, but I don't have the time. When Jesus, that union between fully God, fully man, amen? Yet without sin, of course. That union is solid, meaning that he will always be permanently the God-man. Amen? Did you know that? The God-man is in heaven. Do you know he still has the scars on his hand? When he was resurrected, did he have the scars? Okay, the piercing? That's the only man-made marks on Jesus that are in heaven right now. He is our intercessor. He's our great high priest. Amen? He is the God-man. When he returns, what did the angel say in Acts 1:11? This same Jesus that you saw ascending is going to return. Same Jesus. Amen? Okay, now, so he is the God-man. So we use the word Jesus. That's his humanity. That's his earthly name that was given to him. Remember? Matthew 1:21, what did it say? You should call his name Jesus, the angel said, and he shall save his people from their sins, all right? So that's his humanity. His deity is Christ. He is Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. 1 John 3:5, we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Amen? What was his mission when he came? John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of this world. And it says here, whoever confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Is of God. Any person, any denomination, any Christian, any religion, any cult who denies the reality of the incarnation, it says over what, chapter 2, verse 22, is a liar, and he is the spirit of Antichrist. So Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Whoever it is of God, and this doctrine and this truth can never, ever be compromised. You know, did you know the first question? You know, I don't know how it is today, but back when I became a Calvary Chapel pastor, they tested you. Did you know that this was on that test? That was the first thing? They wanted to know right off the bat, who do you say Jesus is? I'm glad I passed that test, amen? Now, any person, again, any teacher that does not believe this, it says they're not of God, but it also means something else. They are not born again, loved one. They're not saved. This is a living word from God, what we just read. It's a historical fact, but it's deeper than that. This is our confession that comes from our heart, amen? The Bible tells us in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now look at verse 3. We're getting ready to have a contrast here. And every spirit, no matter who they are, no matter how well-educated they are, teacher, pastor, whatever, every spirit that does not or refuses to confess, openly declare, boldly, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is what? Think of that. Is absolutely not of God. They're not born again, loved one. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and is now already in the world. So listen carefully. False teachers then and throughout the generation and today, they operate under the spirit of error, which is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, we know that the false teachers in John's day was the Gnostics, okay? They denied the incarnation. They denied that Jesus came in the flesh and all of that. Now, they didn't believe that Jesus was fully God or fully man. They taught that Jesus didn't have a physical a body. He only appeared to have a human body, and literally he was a phantom, if you will. And so the true Christ fell upon Jesus like a dove. Remember Matthew 4 at the baptism? Okay, now that was the true Christ. But then at the crucifixion, right before he died, well, the real Christ left him, and that was just a body there. Now, a phantom, that's not true. What did Jesus, after he was resurrected, and he went into and he appeared to them in the upper room. Remember, Thomas was doubting, if I don't see him, I'm not going to believe. And what did Jesus say? Here, come here. Look at me. Look at my body. You see, look, stick your finger into my pierced hands and into my side. Listen, don't you know that a spirit, a phantom, a spirit does not have flesh and bone as you see I have. He wasn't a phantom. Amen. Okay, but they were teaching those things. It says in 2 John 7, for many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. I knew a pastor in our city many years ago. He's now passed. He was one of the most famous pastors in this city. He had a 10,000 member church. He was on TV every Sunday. He did not believe in the resurrection. He did not believe in the virgin birth. He did not believe that Jesus Christ was born the God-man. And yet he was one of the most popular. I mean, people adored him. And I never could understand. He's not teaching them the truth. But they were under the spirit of error. How horrible is that, loved one? Now, watch this now. 2 John 9, let me read it to you. Whoever transgresses, that means whoever goes, crosses the established doctrines of God and the Word of God, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. No matter how well-educated they are, no matter how many biblical degrees they might have, not maybe doctor of divinity is in front of their name. No matter how sincere or loving they may be, it says if they do that, boy, they don't have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ both has the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you, Christian, anyone, and does not bring this doctrine, meaning that Jesus Christ is the God-man, he came in the flesh, he's 100% God, 100% human, do not receive him into your house. Wow. Don't greet him. Man, can you believe? Don't even say hello. Don't let a Democrat, I'm sorry. That's a joke. I love to tease Democrats and Republicans because Jesus is an independent. And his vote is the only one that counts. Amen? Amen. Now, don't even greet them. And listen to why. For if we do that, when they knock on your door and you say, come on in, it says, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Wow. You partner with that. That's what the Bible says. Now listen, we all, I have many brothers and sisters. Okay, and you know, they can differ over the rapture. Amen. Some say, well, I don't believe in the rapture. Okay, that's okay. But you're wrong, you know, but that's all right. You know, or they say, all the gifts have passed away. I said, okay, that's fine, but they haven't, you know, and so forth. Or the thousand-year reign. Well, we don't believe that's going to be a thousand-year reign. Well, you don't really believe in anything, do you? Now, I grant them liberty, okay, but there is one essential that there is no liberty in, and that is those who deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, they are not of God, and I don't hang with them. Amen? Okay, now, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Now, I want you to open your heart right now as we look at verse 4. Now, John is, and when he speaks in the Greek, it's emphatic. When he says you, it's almost like he's yelling you. He says you, they, we. I mean, those are all emphatic in the Greek, if you will. And he says you. He's talking to the readers of that generation and every generation of Christians. He's speaking to you and me right this moment. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. All those false teachers, they didn't fall apart. They weren't seduced into their lies. They stood strong, okay? And so that word there is present tense, which means they have permanent victory over them, meaning they're an overcomer. It says, you are children, you have overcome them. So God through John reminds every Christian of their identity. Man, you are the real children of God. You know, listen, loved one. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Oh, man. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we're the children of God. It doesn't yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when he comes, when he's revealed, we shall see him as he is. Amen? And we will then be like him that moment. And it might happen today. Amen? Listen, we are the real children of God. And he says, all of us, every Christian, he says, you have overcome them. The word overcome in the Greek is nikao. We get our word victory, conqueror. Remember Nike tennis shoes? Okay, that's where that word comes from right there. So it says they've all overcome them, plural, meaning all of those false teachers and prophets. And look at the reason. It says you are of God, little children. You've overcome them. Why? Because he who is where? In you. Did you notice the word he? That's a person. He's not talking about a force or an essence, you know, loved one. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth right now is in you. Amen? He is in you right now. Matter of fact, it says over in 2:20, it says you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. And it says from the Holy One, you know all things because you've been given the ability by the Holy Spirit to discern the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Amen? It's living in you right now. Now watch this. It says, you are of children, little God. You've overcome them because he who is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. Well, who is in the world? How about the devil? Amen? He's a defeated devil. What is it? 1 John, 3:8? That Jesus was what? Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the what? The works of the devil. Matter of fact, what did he do in Hebrews chapter 2:14? What did he do? Oh, the devil who had the power over death, he took that away from him. Amen? Think about that. Listen, he is defeated. We have victory over him right now. Listen to me. Look at that scripture. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I pray right now in Jesus' name. I don't know how to teach this. I just pray when I look at these incredible words, and I just say, oh my God, he who is in Bill, He who is in every one of you, he who is in you is greater. Now listen to me. There is no one greater in the universe. Do you understand that? No. There is no one greater in the universe than the Holy Spirit, God and Jesus. Amen? Now listen, they are in you. Do you believe God's word? They are in you right now. There is no one greater. He's in us. Look at us. We're crummy. Look at us. He's in us. The creator of all things, the one who sustains all things, the one who holds all things together, the one who spoke and the stars appeared, the moon, the sun, creation. He is in you right now. No. Greater is he who is in you. Is in you right now. Right this minute, loved one. Oh, God, I say, oh, God, help me. The one who chose me, chose you before time began. The one who seated us with Christ in heavenly places. The one who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, is in you. Is in you right this minute. There is no one greater. He is in you. He is greater than death. He is greater than our sins. He is greater than our failures. Amen? He's greater than anything. Tell me one problem that's greater than God. There is not any, loved one. Listen to me. No matter what you face in this life, the great one, the greatest one is in you. Ephesians 3:20, and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think according to the power that is in us. His power. No, listen, I'm telling you, you've got to get this, loved one. You've got to get this right now. Christian, you have right this minute. Now, listen to me. This is so deep, and I know it's hard to say, Bill, you're kind of weird. I'm not weird. You have, I have, we have right now the very strength of God is in us. Now, do you believe that? Greater is he who is in you than anything that's in this world. Right this very moment, you have the very power and strength of God in you. Ephesians 6:10? Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And put on, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Amen? That you might stand against the wiles of the devil. You need to take up that shield of faith. You'll quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Amen? Yeah, you need to put on that breastplate of righteousness because it's not your righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness. And he has to bow. Do you understand? You, greater is he who is in you. Right now. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Do you think, I'm not going to worry about time, is that okay? Thank you, three of you. Do you think that whenever Jesus told, tarry ye, when he was ascending, remember, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high, receive the promise of my Father. There they go in Jerusalem, they're waiting, you know, praying, hanging around. Do you think they knew what they were going to get? No, they, come on. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. He said, tarry. We're going to tarry. We're going to be endued with power. What does that mean? I don't know. Acts 1:8, the last words of, but ye shall receive what? Power. Whose power? God's power. You shall receive dunamis, God's power. When? When the Holy Spirit has come, not in you, he's already in you, when he has come upon you. And ye shall be my witness to Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, to the uttermost parts of this world. Amen? Man, listen, it's in you right this minute. How about over in 1 John 2:14? What does it say about the young men? It said, young men, you are strong. Why are they strong? Look at it. It says, because the word of the living God abides in you, and you have overcome who? The wicked one. Loved one, that's a word of God. That's who we are. You have to believe that with all of your heart, loved one. Listen, a great expositor of the Bible said this, we can no more be conquered than God himself. I'm going to read it again. We can no more be conquered than God himself, who has armed us with his own power to the end of the world. 1 John 5:4, whoa, can't wait till we get over there. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's the only qualification, not education. One thing, I'm born again. If you are born again, it says here, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcome the world. Our faith, not our fighting, our belief. I believe God's word. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Listen, we are the only people on earth right now that have overcome this world. Amen? And matter of fact, Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. My brother who is in heaven, he always told me, he said, Billy, he called me Billy. He said, Billy, he says, victory is our position, not our attitude. I said, thank you, brother. He said, don't you ever forget that. We are in victory on the darkest day of our life, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, no matter if we are sick, even if we die in victory. Amen? We have to understand that with all of our hearts. God is wanting to move. There's something happening. He's setting a fire in our hearts, loved one. Something is happening. Greater is he who is in you than he is in this world. Listen to me, loved one. If you are following God, do you know what he does for you? Thanks be unto God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who always leads us in triumph, in victory. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:14, I think. Do you understand? We're being led in victory. We're following the Lord, loved one. Oh, now look what he says in verse 5. He says, they, not us, those false teachers, everybody that denies that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, he says, they're of the world. He uses the world three times now. They're of the world. We are of God. They, Satan's false teachers, they're of the world. That's all they have. That's all they're going to have is a world that is passing away. They live and they love a world that Jesus, that a world that rejected Jesus. Amen? John 1:10, he came to his own, but his own received him not. No, they didn't want him. Oh, they want a world that crucified Jesus. That's all the world they have. The only thing they have is a fallen, godless, cursed world system to where Satan is head. 1 John 5:19. We know that the whole world, the godless world, lies under the sway of the wicked one. And look what happens now. Therefore, they, not us, those false teachers, they speak of as of the world. And the world hears them. Think of that. They hear and say, man, that sounds good. It's the spirit of error. They don't know that. Well, that sounds good. And they hear it. They believe what is false. They build their lives on what is false. Why? Because what they hear is coming from the very heart of the world system that they support. That's the spirit of error. The spirit of error is where truth is not desired and that truth is never even wanted. These are the ones that call evil good and good evil, and the world hears that and they agree. Why? Because the people of the world can only understand the language of this world. We are not of this world. Amen? Look at verse 6. Oh, I love this one. We, in contrast to them, hey, we're of God. Oh, he who knows God, meaning that word's very important. It is gnosko, and it means yes, to experience him. But literally here, when it says he who knows God, means those Christians who are continuing throughout their life, growing in the knowledge of God, okay? It says, here's us. Here's, you know what he just said? He says, here's us, meaning the apostles. Even though all of them are now martyred, he's the last one. Remember what he said over in chapter 1, 1 through 3? He says, listen, you know, we have handled him. We have seen him. We've talked with him. We ate with him, talking about Jesus. Amen? He says, you hear us. We're telling you the truth. And that word hear us means you not only hear, you are obedient to what you hear. Now watch. By this we know or recognize the Spirit of truth, meaning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. Now, the spirit of error comes from whom? The devil. Those lies leading people astray, leading people into hell. Now, listen very carefully. The response of God's word, the response from all of us, anyone, the response of God's word reveals the true nature of the hearer. Did you know that hearing and listening to God's word proves nothing? Did you know that? Yes, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God, but it proves nothing about the person's spiritual condition who hear it. Remember what Jesus said? Remember what I told you earlier? There's only two foundations on earth. Jesus said in what, Matthew 7:24? He says, therefore I say unto you, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. You hear, but you do. Amen? Okay. He said, I liken him to a man who built his house up on the rock, and the winds came and the storms came and all the floods, but that house didn't fall. Then he talks about the other person who heard the word of God, but he didn't do the word of God, and he built his house or his life on the sand. Amen? So we know that. We hear the word of God, but we hear it, we do something. You see, we hear and obey. What did Jesus say in John 10:27? He says, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. I know them. I have a relationship with them. And they do something. What do? They follow him. You hear the word of God. You do the word of God. Now listen, we are of God. We have the Spirit of truth living in us, and we have the living Word of God in our hands. That's who we are, loved one. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Oh, loved one, the Holy Spirit not only lives in us, the Holy Spirit leads us. He guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit can't lie. He'll never, ever lead us astray. Amen? Jesus told us in John 14:16, I'll pray to the Father. He'll give you another helper. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They don't see him. They don't know him, but Jesus said, but you know him, and I love this. Jesus said, for he dwells with you, meaning paraclete. He comes alongside of you. The Holy Spirit is here right now. He dwells, he lives, he abides right by us. He's here. But listen, he said, he dwells with you, and I love this one, and will be in you. In you. He's in you right now. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Loved one, listen to me now. There is no one greater. Do you understand? He's in you. Why is there so much power in us today and so little coming out from us today? We don't have enough strength to make it to church sometimes or pray, and we don't have enough strength to serve. That felt good. Whatever that scholar said, he said, we can no more be conquered than God himself. Can God be conquered? Does he ever grow weary? I say, oh God, forgive us. We should be on our faces. You know why? We don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. We think, look, yeah, I'm a good man. No, you're not. No, you're not. I have something. No, you don't. God likes me, but no, he doesn't. He saw what I haven't eaten. No, he didn't. You don't have anything. It is by grace that you're saved. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. That's called the grace of the living God. We're called the children of God because of the grace of God. Amen? But look at me. Look what I've done. I mean, I'm a cradle row baby. I was born in the church. My first words were, Jesus loves me. I mean, look at me, Bill. I mean, now I'm 20. I never drank a beer. I never smoked pot. I never saw my eyes. No, I never read anything but the Bible. So, you're saved by grace. You're saved by grace. Well, yeah, but I mean, look, I did everything right. Oh, yeah, you're like the older brother, the prodigal. But you get some old guy, 55, 60 years old, that's never been in church, that's been drunk all of his life and left his wife, didn't support his children, ended up with the DWI down to Fort Worth jail. Somebody says, do you know Jesus? No. Do you know he loves you? No, he doesn't love me. Yes, he does. Pray with me. And that man who has wasted his life becomes a Christian. Born again. How? Grace. He's going to share the same heaven with the boy that didn't smoke any dope. Do you understand? It's by grace. And we're sitting here and God's word, I mean, it's like the Apostle John, he's crying out to us. Do you not understand, your children of God, and greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world? You don't have anything to fear. You don't have anyone to be afraid of. You can stand up to anything because we have already, because of Christ, overcome this world. Amen? No, they have to bow to us. Do you understand? We don't. Demons, they bow. They tremble. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, I don't know why you don't believe that. You know, maybe there's somebody listening right now on the radio. I don't know. Maybe you're listening online or here in the chapel. You don't know the Lord. I hope everybody knows the Lord, but if you don't know the Lord, I want you to listen to me. You heard everything I said this morning, but you didn't hear it. And you know why you didn't hear it? Let me give you from Scripture a truth. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, those who are in Adam, that are not born again, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, that don't know anything about Jesus. It says the natural man doesn't receive or welcome the things of the Spirit of God. And he says, why? Well, if they're foolishness to him, he can't even know them because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, spiritually discerned, that word means investigated. You can investigate the Bible. You can read the Bible and you go, I don't know, this doesn't make any sense to me. Why? You have to be born again. Amen. See, a natural person, those that are in the world, not born again, they can only welcome the spirit of error. They can only welcome the things of the world because they're in Adam. Oh, listen, Jesus said in John 8:47, I'm winding up, but listen to me now. Jesus said in John 8:47, he who is of God hears God's word. You hear it. You do it. You hear it. Therefore, you who do not hear, well, that's because you're not of God. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to listen to me now. Listen very, very, I want you to hear one truth and we're going to pray. Just one truth. It's from Acts chapter 4, verse 12, where it says this, nor is there any salvation in any other, meaning Jesus, no other way to be saved. He says, for there's no other name given under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. Must be saved. Only one name. That's only Jesus. No one else can save you. You know, a man that I admire who's now dead said this, men occasionally stumble over the truth. What a word. Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most, they stumble over the truth, but most, well, they pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing ever happened. You just heard God's truth. You must be saved. Jesus is the only way. I beg you not to stumble over that truth if you don't know Christ. Because, loved one, listen, if you don't know Jesus, do you know right now that your eternal destiny, it's in your hands? You have a choice. Receive him or reject him. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, I don't know if everybody here is saved or if there's only one person that's not. I don't know, but you know. And I pray right now, as every Christian is praying, if you have never asked Jesus Christ, truly asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, will you do so right now? Will you let him come into your heart? Will you let him change your life forever? Will you let him change your destiny from hell to heaven? Will you let him remove all of your sins that he died on the cross for? You don't have to come to this altar, but you have to make a decision because eternity is in your hands right now. If you don't know Christ, you have the opportunity to be born again right now. How, Bill? How do I do that? All you do is stay in that chair, but you lift your hand up and put it rest. God bless you. That's right. You put your hand up and put it right back down. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. Anyone. Last call, I'll not ask again. If that's you, please, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you this morning. I want all the church now to pray with those that lifted the hands, okay? You pray with me, everyone. Say, Father, I just heard the truth. I want the truth. The Spirit of truth living in me. I want your power living in me. I want heaven to be my home. And I want my sins to be forgiven. And I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen. Amen.